I'll try not to take too much time. I want to start in Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Now at the very point that this occurred, man experienced separation from God. And we needed something, an atoning sacrifice, to bring us back. And in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it tells us, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua the Messiah, the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world." Now, he is our atoning sacrifice. That in no way does away with the Day of Atonement. I, in fact, bring this up to point out the Father sacrificed something for us that each one of us would have a very hard time sacrificing if asked to do so. He gave the life of his only biological, so to speak, child. He gave the life of his child as a sacrifice for his adopted children. And his son willingly gave that life. He told us that he laid down his life for his friends, that he went to willingly do so. They did all of this, and they ask of us one day out of the year, they ask for us to give up something. Most of their holy days, annual and weekly, are for our benefit. And even this one, you can make the cases for our benefit, but this is the one where they ask us to give something up. And it's very little that they ask of us in return, considering what they gave. And we're going to read a little bit about this day, a few scriptures about it. I'm sure we're all aware of them, but I want to read a couple of them. I want to start in Leviticus 23. Verses 26 through 32. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Now the 10th day of this 7th month is a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall deny yourselves and present the Lord's offering by fire. And you shall do no work during that entire day. For it is a day of atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. For if anyone who does not practice self-denial during that entire day shall be cut off from the people. And anyone who does not work during that entire day, such a one I will destroy from the midst of the people. You shall do no work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your settlements. It shall be to you a Sabbath of complete rest. And you shall deny yourselves on the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall keep your Sabbath. So we see here that we're told very directly that it's forever. And we are very specifically told that we shall not do any kind of work whatsoever on this day. Doing work on this day, not acknowledging this day according to Scripture, will cause you to be cut off from the people. Now that has deep meaning. Because if we're cut off from the people, we're not allowed to enter the city. Anyone who was cut off from the people was cast outside. And not to enter the city will in fact mean that we would be cast into the lake of fire. That's the only two options we have in the end. So we certainly don't want to be cut off from the people. Also in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 29 through 34. This shall be a statute to you forever. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall deny yourselves and shall do no work. Neither the citizen nor the alien who resides among you, for on this day atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you from all your sins, and you shall be clean before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of complete rest to you, and you shall deny yourselves. It is a statute forever. The priest who is anointed and consecrated as priest in his father's place shall make atonement wearing the linen vestments, the holy vestments. So we see on this day, again we're told there twice that it's forever, twice to deny ourselves, and very importantly, it tells us the priest who is anointed and consecrated as priest in the Father's place shall make atonement. Now, who is our priest today? I think we all know, but we're going to go to the Scriptures and read where it tells us just that thing. Hebrews chapter 5. Verses 7 through 10. In the days of his flesh, Yeshua offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So we see in the past, there was basically a shadow for Yeshua of the high priest that they had in the ancient times, who went in and made this atonement. And we see in the current that we have him himself doing this for us. So some people would say that since he does it for us, the day no longer counts. The word we read said the day is forever. The fact that he is now the high priest does not do away with the day. In the times before Yeshua, everyone kept the day. Everyone wasn't the high priest. The same applies today. And I want to show what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, along that lines. Paul says, "Therefore do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink or the observing of festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." So each and every one of them are about the Messiah. And he says that they were a shadow, or are. He doesn't say were. He says they are a shadow of things to come. So as we see in Leviticus, they had a high priest who was the shadow of the Messiah to come. And today, this day still shadows something for us. We want to read in Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. And 3, 1 through 3. Maybe go through 4, I don't know. When I start reading, we'll go till I stop. But starting in chapter 8, "When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel with a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given a great quantity of incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar that is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. And then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals and thunders, rumbling, flashes of lightning, and earthquake." Now what this has to do with the Day of Atonement, when the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies, he was alone. There was silence. They offered the incense and the prayers. Then, and we see a shadow of this in Revelation, when our high priest at the very end goes in for us. So this day, in fact, very much still shadows that for us in the future. So from Leviticus, Hebrews, and Revelation, we have past, current, and future for the Day of Atonement. But then you have the other group of people who like to say, when you tell them that you believe in keeping gods, because that's what Leviticus chapter 23 tells us, they are the Lord's appointed days. It doesn't say that they're the Jews or anyone else's. It says they're the Lord's. But you have those that when you tell them, you keep them, always want to bring up, well, if you keep them, you have to kill animals. Well, now, first of all, we've already read about who our high priest is now. And the high priest was the one who killed the animals and sprinkled the blood. And he still sprinkles his blood for us. But secondly, it was never really about that. And on that subject, we're going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 7. Verses 22 through 26. And he says, well, actually, we'll start in 21 because it makes it clear who's talking. "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat the flesh. For on the day that I brought your ancestors out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to them or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this command I gave them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk only in the way that I command you, so that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or inclined their ear, but in their stubbornness of their evil will, they walked in their own counsels and looked backwards rather than forwards. From the day that your ancestors came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have persistently sent all my servants, the prophets, to them day after day, yet they did not listen to me or pay attention, but stiffened their necks. They did worse than their ancestors did. You see what he told them? He said, on the day that he brought them out of Egypt, he did not speak to them or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. They had to start doing burnt offerings and sacrifices because of their disobedience. It's always been about obedience, not sacrifice. And he tells us as much in Hosea chapter 6. Y'all are probably familiar with this scripture. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. He tells us, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." So what is more important? The obedience or the sacrifice? He makes it very clear that obedience is what he's looking for. It's what he was looking for when he brought them out of Egypt. It's what he's looking for from me and you today. He's the high priest. He will take care of the rest. But he demands obedience from me and you, from each one of us. When people bring up this killing of animals and blood sacrifice thing, all they're doing is trying to distract you from what the Word of God tells you to do. They're trying to make something a burden that God says is a blessing. And in Psalms chapter 51, verses 16 and 17, he tells us pretty much the same thing he said in Hosea. "For I have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." So he wants you to humble yourself. Come before him humble, not full of pride. Because a man who is humble, a man who's broken from trying to walk in the ways of the flesh, is willing to do what? He's willing to obey. He's willing to be obedient. And that is what he desires from us on this day and every day. I have one last scripture I want to reference. It's from Yeshua when he was here on earth in Matthew chapter 9. In verse 13, he told us, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous but sinners." So these scriptures that we're looking at about him desiring mercy and not sacrifice and burnt offerings are so important that Yeshua, our high priest, when he walked this earth, told us what? Go and learn what this means. Because he knows the beginning to the ending. And he knew that today, in the time that we live in, that each one of us live in, that people would confuse the issue. They would try to make his appointed days about sacrifice, about the killing of animals, when that is not what he says they're about. He assures us over and over. He was aware that this would happen. He was aware that that would be the allegation that everyone would level against those of us who keep them. So he told us to go and learn what it means. And I hope these scriptures have helped some with that. And I hope, again, that everyone's had a blessed day of atonement. And I hope we need to all remember that it is about him, drawing closer to him. It's not about us. And I would like to end with us reading our blessings. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.